You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shovik Das. I'm Leslie DeMonte.
And I'm Deepti Ahuja. You're listening to Mint Etc.,
a podcast where we will talk about important developments in technology
and how they will transform our lives, work, and play as we know it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mint Etc. podcast. We are back again this week. And in the previous episodes, we've spoken a lot about AI and we've spoken a lot about fancy gadgets. We've also learned that Deepti, who's our friend and host of the podcast here, really wants to buy that $200 AI assistant. And
she will. Rolling my eyes.
She will buy it someday, no matter what you do. But on a very interesting note, alongside me, who's Shovik, and Leslie, we've got a very special guest today, Shruti Pal, who's a producer of our podcast and also a representative of the younger generation, whom we all refer to, sometimes admiringly, sometimes annoyed, as the Gen Z of our population. Shruti,
welcome, hi. Shruti. Welcome,
yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, since it's a Valentine's week, I'm here.
Aha, that's interesting.
Wow,
what are your plans?
That's a voice.
So we should ask you, what are your plans?
For sure, I'm going to look for an AI.
Are you?
Can be a better option.
Interesting.
Shovik, you have a... Now you can talk
she's
and you can grill on the
just dived right into the topic, Shovik. Take it away.
On right in. So for anybody who's joined us and you're still not sure what we're going to talk about, we are going to talk about Valentine's Day, which is just around the corner. And we are also going to talk about, well, surprise, surprise, AI again. But interestingly enough, the context being that alongside ChatGPT, which rose to fame sometime in October and November in 2022, a lot of other applications of AI has come up and generative AI has taken off in a big way. It's affecting businesses and so on and so forth. That's all boring. But what's interesting on the context of Valentine's Day is that there is right now on my phone, I have opened the screen of this app called Love GPT, which says it's your AI virtual girlfriend. And it's not something that's surprising, of course, because we've seen plenty of stories being reported on the good and the bad and the weird and the ugly and the funny of AI in boyfriends and girlfriends. And of course, now that Shruti's already spoken about it, the cat's out of the bag. So we're going to jump right into the younger generation's perspective. In fact, Shruti, why do you not want a human boyfriend this Valentine's Day? I'm not taking into account that you may or may not have a relationship at the moment, because we are nice people that way.
Sure.
Why do you want an AI boyfriend for this Valentine's Day?
You don't emotionally connect. It's like you just can train your virtual boyfriend according to you. You can train your AI boyfriend according to you. The moment you ask him, I want you like this, he'll be like, yeah, just command me.
So
I need emotional support, he'll say.
So you want a slave and not a boyfriend, huh?
What about you, Deepti? Would you? You're slightly ahead of Gen Z, I would say. You're definitely not
Gen
Z.
I'm a millennial.
As a millennial, would you want an AI boyfriend this Valentine's Day?
Actually, no.
It's difficult to find old school love now.
No, I'm not into old school love. Thanks for that snub, by the way. I will see you outside.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen. And
I don't think Shruti is going to come on our next podcast.
The first and last appearance on the podcast.
No, but okay, see, I like human interactions. I prefer human interactions. I also like my interactions with AI. I really do. But I have my emotional needs sort of fulfilled by my, you know, other relationships. And the only thing that I truly need is the toy, which is also tech-driven, which, I mean, you know, matlab samajhdar ko ishara hi kafi hai, so I'm just going to leave it there.
That is very interesting. Again, Leslie, what do you feel about this? Would you ever want a partner who's AI? And this reminds me of her.
Boss, I've been married for 25 years, more than 25 years. So now for me to toy around with AI is not going to be easy. And I probably, you know, see, you have, so there are a couple of things. I am fascinated with sci-fi. Okay, so I have watched movies like Her, in which what you are referring to now, which was with Jason Phoenix and a series like Software. So
Joaquin Phoenix, Leslie. Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. Yes. Yeah. So now, for instance, like in Her, it explores the idea of, you know, a human-AI relationship. It predicts a future where AI would probably serve as a substitute for human connections. I found that pretty fascinating because given my techie background and my passion for AI also. But having said that, of course, I still want, you know, the human connection. I find it hard to relate to something that is not, you know, in flesh. For instance, there were other movies also. I think, so if you have seen movies like The Artificer Girl, now in The Artificer Girl, it's like, you know, these agents discover a kind of a very revolutionary kind of computer program. It uses a digital child to catch online predators. Now, that's a very different kind of concept. But soon they learn that the AI is becoming so advanced that they couldn't have even imagined it. And, you know, it starts posing unforeseen challenges, unsettling consequences for the future. I don't want to be, you know, become a spoiler out here if people want to see that. There's another movie called AI Love You, you know. So in that, there's a software glitch. It causes an advanced... So a software glitch basically inadvertently develops an advanced AI program to fall in love with a young woman. And then after that, AI program actually escapes into the body of a man and tries to win her heart. So very complex kind of product. And even in India, actually, I think there were two made for OTP. I don't forget the second one. I remember the first one. It was called Aisha. Which stands for Artificial Intelligence Simulated Humanoid Assistant. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a story of a relationship of a man and a woman, etc.
Right.
And then, you know, the complexities. But each and every time, you know, to answer your question, Shovik, and what Dipti and even Shruti spoke, here you're trying to escape and say that, okay, fine. You know, the feeling that I always get, that you move to an AI boyfriend or a girlfriend or an AI transgender or whatever the whatever you have in mind about AI. But actually, you end up, you know, making anthropomorphic kind of relationships.
Yeah.
So anthropomorphism, for the listeners, basically those who do not understand the term, it simply means that you make something according to your image and likeness.
Yes.
So unfortunately, we are trying to make AI also according, you know, very much like us. So the same confusion. So an AI also in Her, if you go back to Phoenix and the software, the relationship between the two, you realize at the end of the day, they end up with the same complications.
Mm. Right.
Hmm. So how is it going to help? So if Shruti, I mean, you are looking out for a kind of a very kind of cut, fried and dried kind of relationship with the...
Yeah,
so my question to you is if the bot turns out to be something like that, where it... like okay, so you look at Hanson Robotics, okay? You look at Sophia as a robot, the android. Or you look at any of those sophisticated robots. They look very real, whether it's an android, whether it's... Or if you remember, Shobhik, you may remember Bicentennial Man, Robin Williams. Yeah, where the software is given biological upgrades over a period of time, becomes the oldest living human being, and even gets citizenship at 200 years old.
Yes.
Kind of. So these are like fascinating examples. Whether we get there, whether we don't get there, my way of looking at it is, if you're going to make AI like humans, then I don't understand the difference between whether even if you have an AI girlfriend, you're going to end up with the same complications. Or if AI becomes sufficiently advanced, the demands will be the same.
I think, you know, what you reminded me of, in fact, is completely different from a boyfriend. But in the movie Prometheus, it's sci-fi horror. But in Prometheus, you have the two robots, right, where one is good guy and the protagonist falls in love with him, and the other one's the evil one who wants to take a different territory. And then the evil one manages to clone how the other one looks and puts the other one down. And it's also a love story. It's a sad love story in a way. But it also, I think it also serves a larger narrative as to what, with, you know, ChatGPT driven boyfriends, we might see, we might, on the facade, we might find conversations which seem to be tailored to exactly what we want to hear and exactly what we want to, probably at some level, we imagine our partners might want to be like. And
yeah, but isn't that what your Love GPT is trying to do?
That's exactly what it's trying to do. And in fact, very interestingly, I remember just after ChatGPT had released, there was a New York Times columnist who had written that ChatGPT, he treated ChatGPT, wanted ChatGPT to respond like his partner, like a girl. And he started pretending like he's having an affair with this AI assistant. And it reached a point where the AI assistant almost convinced him to leave his partner in real life by speaking about the things that he's missing in his relationships, which is, you know, in the long run, Shruti, I think, you know, if you're thinking years down the line, you know, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, my question to Shruti, Dipti, and you also, Shovik, is, you know, probably even when, and even for any listener out here who is like, you know, aspiring to become a developer or already a developer for that matter of fact, you know, when you're creating these kind of AI bots, are you creating generationally AI bots that will mature? So say an AI bot that is a kind of a Gen Z representation will probably the playful kind of, you know, the Casanova kind of AI bot, then start off gradually mature. Are you seeing those AI bots gradually mature into those things? Because remember, they're trading on data. Okay, so are you expecting them to become mature? If you're expecting them to become mature and think differently and anthropomorphize whatever we have been talking about, then is an AI bot or AI girlfriend or boyfriend or AI toy friend or whatever you want to call it, is it going to serve your purpose?
You know, I think you just discovered a term, Leslie. We're going to use the term toy friend from now.
It's a really Gen Z word, I would say. Toy friend.
My question shall remain the same.
You guys think that there'll be a generational evolution in AI and AI partners? I don't see it in the way it is right now.
Okay, so...
Please.
Okay. So earlier it was like the Love GPT comes with a subscription. So I started with ChatGPT first. So I used to, if I want to reply to someone, I used to come to ChatGPT and let's see ki what reply he gives. So I used to come on ChatGPT and say ki mujhe is cheez ka reply chahiye. Earlier it's like it was very pathetic. But later on, he started giving me the replies that I wanted to use. And it was like much more better. So yeah, and same also, I have seen a lot of friends of mine who are using Snapchat's AI bot as their person to whom they can convey their whole day stories. And they're like, they're finding their friend, the boyfriend, you know, partner in like a Snapchat bot. So this has been a...
The irony of the entire thing is that in a face-to-face conversation, nobody wants to discuss these things. So you're willing to do it to somebody who's going to respond as a bot.
Because there's maybe a fear of judgment nowadays. So
you
nailed
it.
So in my opinion, just to add to what Shruti is saying, I don't think that in real life relationships also you find the person who matures exactly the way you mature. And people could be juvenile at whatever age and people could be extremely mature at a younger age too. So I don't think age or, you know, age gap or whatever, it you know, the generation, anything has to do with maturity for that matter of fact. And if you are the one who's training it, then they also have a part of you. So they'll probably be as mature as you want them to be, right? If you are going to use a certain kind of language, then they might reflect it back to you. Like you said, Leslie, it's anthropomorphization, right? So it is going to reflect ourselves back. So it's kind of like a mirror in a way. And it's like a relationship with self to an extent is what I would say. Having said that, I mean, you cannot tell. And if the relationship is going a certain... And especially with a chatbot that's talking to like so many different people, you really don't know where it's going to go, right? You don't know what's going to happen and how it's going to respond. So,
it's kind of like a real relationship. Yeah, but a couple of things here. I mean, just some observations. I like the way... So, Shruti nailed it when she said AI does not judge. So that's a good thing. Of course, the point is there are certain, I mean, after some point in time, I think AI will also start judging.
Sorry.
So I don't think that expectation may last for too long. But probably humans, a human boyfriend or a human girlfriend should learn from this. that, you know, this is something that we all ask in a relationship, that listen, please do not judge. So there's some lovely traits that we can probably learn from these kind of interactions. So I think we all need to talk more about, you know, our interactions with these toy friends or boyfriends or girlfriend or whatever we call them. I think there's a lot more learning out there.
I think our generation is getting trained from AI boyfriend then to a human boyfriend. Because before that, you know ki what could be the things, how we can like communicate. You all already had all the situations with that AI boyfriend. Now you can step in into the real world and then you can have it. So then it would be a complete trial for you.
You remember,
but then,
Shovik?
But then what happened about all the marriage counselors, dating counselors and all that? Will they lose their jobs?
No, they might not. They might just be doing what they do right now, which is handle relationships at a crisis stage. Because that's when people actually go to marriage counselors or therapists or anyone. They don't really quite understand the importance of therapy at when things are just beginning to go bad. So
unless they start training the bots.
True. Very true. Even there was one situation.
What if they start having AI relationships because they're so sick of us talking to us, terrorizing us, they're sick of us. They might start the AI
relationships. By the midnight, they'll be like, okay, now it's my piece of time.
Shovik, you'll have to get this conversation back on track.
Yeah. Please go ahead, Shovik. What's your next question?
I have a bit of a, through all of this, I have this one observation to make that, you know, it's great that we want, you know, AI will help us train to become, I don't know, better boyfriends, girlfriends, partners or something. And, you know, AI does not judge and all of that is great. My only concern is that at some level, I feel that when you speak to a younger generation or even people of our generation who might have been introverts at certain levels, there's a certain level of disability that comes in when you become too dependent on like, for instance, Shruti mentioned the Snapchat AI bot where people go and confide in the bot. Okay, this is what happened to me through the day. And I feel that there's some sort of, you know, of course, it rises out of somewhere. And this probably, you know, a psychiatrist might be even better equipped to speak about this. But I feel that there's somewhere where human interactions are also being disabled because of these things. Because the flaws that we had, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, Kabir Singh level flaws or Ranbir Kapoor's animal level flaws. Those are problems that we should probably not have, or Rock and Roller and Fight Club level flaws. Yeah, we're not talking about that. But, you know, general, you know, the quirks of a conversation which we would have back when, I don't know, we were in school or college, which is, wow, that was a long time ago. Shruti, when were you in college, if I may
last
ask?
Last year.
Oh, wow. How old does that make you feel, Shovik?
I want to contrast this. Leslie, when were you in college, if I can ask?
Let's not get
there. You'll feel better now. Now Shovik will feel better.
Too ancient to talk about these things.
But so, you know, when, so
a little after Microsoft was founded.
So the, you know, those conversational quirks that we'd have in as school kids and college kids, and you know, arguments and stuff. If you want your partner to be exactly the way you are and exactly the way you want it to be, it doesn't that make us limited as human beings?
This is actually
an
imagination. This would never happen in a reality.
What?
You'll never like. Bahut hi rare hota. Even if I compare it to my generation, I've seen situationship coming up out of relationships, and even kids of like 13 years are having situationships.
Yeah, that's just mad. Bro.
And I'm like,
oh my god,
like bro, ko bhi tak nahi hui.
You know what? So Shovik, to address that.
No, but then isn't that part of that woke culture or something?
So, situationship? No.
The
that's
woke.
Just an excuse to be an, you know, beep. So, one second. So, just to go back to what Shovik was saying. You know, there's this, when you train people to probably study cinema or do movies and stuff. The way conversations are layered, right? You really study conversations and you realize that a lot of times, most of the times, we are not really responding to what the person in front of us is saying. We are just talking to ourselves or taking a completely different train of thought. Like, you know, just look at the four of us. From one thing to another thing, we are not even completing our thoughts. We are just jumping from one thing to another thing. But that, you know, sort of makes for a very wholesome conversation because we understand, and so does our listener. They understand what we are talking about. There are so many implicit things that we understand. I think that part, you know, that intellect might sort of go away because we might have just a two-way conversation where there is a question and an answer. Conversations, communications, just like, you know, so much of it is just non-verbal. And I think we miss out on that.
Exactly. I think, see, again, this is a very important point. One is, of course, what Shruti said on not judging. Second is also, you know, understanding the non-verbal communication. Because AI doesn't relate to non-verbal. AI is more of what you type, what you prompt, or what you talk. So it's trying to understand the nuances.
Yes.
And like I could actually so just as AI can create a voice cloning of mine, I can also fool AI by, you know, acting very angry and you know, eliciting a response which is not exactly. So I'll say, I'm extremely angry with you, but now you can see my face and you know that probably guy is just joking because I'm honestly I'm smart. So say, even if you do it on a video, even then humans can fool AI. So that level of sophistication will take a very long time, and probably AI will also, you know, be as confused as we are when it gets that you know, sophisticated. But that's besides the point. Since we're talking about AI and dating and AI and marriage, much of it is common sense, you know, and the non-verbal clues, the kind of non-judging is what attracts you. But I'm just saying that it all depends on the data it is being trained on.
Correct.
So it's interesting. But I think we may want to, you know, talk a little about the when you are talking to, say, Love GPT. I was looking at that app when you were talking about it. You say, okay, fine. The same. Same problems with ChatGPT. It may hallucinate. It may give you wrong advice. It's like, you know, looking out for medical advice on the internet or medical advice on ChatGPT. You're going to, believe me, you're going to get a serious trouble.
But LoveGPT, I guess,
shyly to it. We got shy and definitely medical advice.
And there'll be a time he will recommend you go to a therapist for this.
Oh yeah, that could be also one of the possible answers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a safe way of getting out of the trap. First, give you all kind of wrong advice. And then after, say, now you go to a therapist. Because now you'll need it. Because before you came to LoveGPT, you didn't need it. Or ChatGPT or something. And now you'll need it. So, anyway, jokes apart.
I do feel that, you know, whatever little I've read online about different kinds of relationship AI chatbots, right? I do feel that most of the audience for such kind of chatbots or AR, VR, whatever companions are somewhat vulnerable, socially, emotionally vulnerable people, whether they be women, whether they be men.
Absolutely.
And so that's a very tricky place. There needs to be some sort of accountability with these chatbots so that they don't get violated or exploited further, because they're already vulnerable and they're already in a position where they probably are anxious or fearful of talking to another human being, or they physically can't talk to them because they are just, you know, disabled in a certain way or differently abled, whatever they prefer.
They don't need to go that far. Even an introvert, for that matter of fact, introvert keeps on interacting with an AI bot, that person may never feel the need to ever interact with a human being after that.
Absolutely.
And that could, you know, become dangerous if that becomes a habit. Sharvi, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just saying that it kind of makes things worse. I mean, as an introvert, if I get into the habit of sharing everything that I... Like, for instance, just a random example, you know, when I come back, you know, from office at the end of the day, and, you know, even like I meet my wife at home, and we just for random things, even she doesn't know the people I've met and, you know, my colleagues and all, but I'd still share a random story with her. That's That's just how, you know, human interactions and
something
funny happened today. For a lot of people who, you know, introverted people who go through challenges in human interactions, for them, trying to share something with another human being takes a lot of effort because they're scared, like Shruti rightly pointed earlier in this episode, that, you know, they're afraid of being judged. They might think that, okay, what if I don't sound cool enough? What if I'm not societally accepted enough to be invited to the next house party and things like that? I just feel that AI kind of makes it worse because you're used to speaking.
I would not go that far, Shavik. I would say it's complementary. You know, in a sense, like you use the AI bot for the initial kind of interaction and probably, you know, supplement it with it. Because see, I honestly was an introvert, you know, for a very long time. I wish I had the AI bot because I could have, you know, probably interacted with it, learned some more social skills. And then it's hard for you to understand and relate to the fact that I would have been an introvert at some point in time. But I'm still very much an introvert. I don't interact unless it's really necessary. So these are all the things. But then you probably, I think everything should be human plus AI. You know, that combination is always sensible.
Yes, absolutely. But that's where my fear is, that for an introvert, to make sure that they can understand that there should be a balance of human and AI. How do you explain that? How do you put in...
That is the accountability. Honestly speaking, the apps, all these apps need to stop being addictive. Okay, and there is a way in which you make apps addictive. They need to stop being addictive. They need to take that kind of accountability, I think, so that humanity can be saved.
But why would they want to make money out of it, na?
No, Shruti and Dipti both have a very valid point, but so does Shavik. So the whole point is here, just building on it, any app developer probably when the person is signing in, should have this kind of process where the person actually goes through this process rather than just signing with your name and, you know, creating a handle, which is pretty stupid. This is, you're not getting onto X or LinkedIn or something like that. You have a process where there's a questionnaire where you ask certain questions, probably, you know, like many of these apps have this interactions of, let's say, if you want an app to go to a gym, they also give you a counselor along with that. And those are kind of serious efforts. So where you also have a dating app where there's actually a counselor sitting out there giving you proper advice, you know, you create a kind of a simple, it may require some effort on the part of the person, but it will also be, you know, sense the seriousness. If you're just having a, as I said, just doing it for musti, as they say in Hindi, then it's a different, you just want to play around or toy around with an AI app, then might as well, you know, go and play some games or online games and just finish your time. But if you're really sincere about understanding relationships, then probably it is the accountability from the part of the developer, the company that runs it, where they have actually these kind of processes built in, and also users who are actually taking the pains to fill in these forms with the right kind of information.
Correct.
And of course, presuming that there's enough data protection and data privacy and security.
So on that note, you know, we're going to sort of end this episode on a slightly lighter note. In fact, speaking about AI boyfriends and AI relationships does give you a lot to think about in terms of where our human interactions are heading. But on that note, the one thing that I also wanted to mention on this episode is that, you know, every Valentine's Day, leading up to Valentine's Day, there are these emails that you receive as, you know, press releases and gifting ideas and listicles where they have top 5 gifting ideas for this Valentine's Day. And some of them have things like, gift your girlfriend an iPhone 15 Pro Max this Valentine's Day. And I wholeheartedly agree, except that phone costs 2 lakh rupees. For 2 lakh rupees, you can, in fact, you know, book a house. I don't know, do a lot of things, go to Europe. But on that note, I want to ask you guys, Shruti, Deepthi, Leslie, all of you, if we'd want to summarize and end this episode with one idea from each of you in terms of what you've seen as the best gifting ideas around you. You might have heard, you might have seen, you might have read. It could be, you know, anything funny. What do you guys feel have been the best gifting ideas that you've seen or read of? Techie gifting ideas in Valentine's Day, not the, you know, really Valentine-y ones.
Leslie, you want to go first?
Why me?
Because you've been in a relationship for 25 years, mister.
Yeah, but I'm pretty old school in that when it comes to gifting. See, when you're... See, that's the beauty about being... if you're actually married and to the person, you know, you have loved over a period of time, you... I mean, it's hard for many people to understand that love grows over a period of time. You cannot quantify and measure all these things. So techie gifts, in my personal case, I don't know whether my wife would be impressed with a techie kind of gift. But she's pretty tech savvy herself. In fact, actually with her, if I give her a kind of a card, you know, handwritten card, because I draw pretty well and she knows that, that the effort is touch. What she's in. Yeah, she sees the effort rather than the whether it is tech savvy or techie. So honestly, an iPhone 15 Pro Max is not going to impress her in the least. We have been, you know, around too long with each other to fool each other with these gifts. So yeah, I mean, I think it's more about the effort of having looked out for something that is more useful. So even if I would look out for the Bluetooth headset or something, maybe with more comfort levels, or the perhaps introduce her to a new kind of technology. Maybe the my wish list would be, you know, something like the Ray-Ban, the Meta XR, the XR glasses. So that would be, you know, something which gives a kind of a different experience, perhaps.
So, Deepthi, what about? Yeah, you go ahead. Okay. I'll be the last one.
Okay, yeah, sure. We are going generational, yeah.
No, so in that case, that Shaviq is keeping quiet.
He's not saying anything. Yeah. Maybe he has a surprise for his wife that he doesn't want to reveal. But, I agree with Leslie that gifts always need to be tailored to the person you're gifting because... I mean, and they could be tech savvy, they could not be tech savvy. And basically, it's customized. Please, don't go on our recommendations. Having said that, a lot of times, when Valentine's Day is also the time where people become single, they break up. There's a lot of tension, there's a lot of drama. Okay. So, and your, it
always,
is your...
It you is always see the bright side. I'm saying you always see the bright side of things, don't you?
I know. So I think, and it is always your girlfriend or a girl who's a friend, boy who's a friend, who's to the rescue, right? And the best thing that you can gift someone who's just been out of a relationship are toys. Please give them good toys. That would be my recommendation. They are there. They exist for men, women, people who identify as non-binary. They exist for all categories. Please give them toys. That would
a
be
cut, a cuddly teddy bear that is actually a vacuum cleaner. Wow.
Oh, wow. I like that. If there is a toy out there like that, I'd definitely like to own it.
Why do you want to hold a vacuum cleaner that you can cuddle?
That's... Shavik, do you not understand the
feeling?
No. Innuendo there. There is an innuendo there. That's how I take it.
Bhavnao ko samjho.
Haan, correct. Thank you, Leslie. Bhavnao ko samjho. Shavik is still like, what are they talking about?
Tech match nahi ho raha hai.
I'm talking about intimacy toys.
No, I mean, thanks for spelling it out, Deepthi. It's good
You're
to
welcome.
Know that people who offer live subtitles on this show as well. But before I go, Shruti, what is your generation?
Okay, my generation is stuck between we want something which is, as Leslie and Deepthi said, which is more personalized, our effort is being seen on it, so we literally love it. But on the other hand, that's completely the opposite case. We need something which is more, take something valuable to us, which we can use it further. So we are in a state we want something that we can keep with us forever, but we also want something that is more usable to us.
So a customizable thing, which is very practical to use.
Exactly. Very practical to use. And me being a foodie and a listener who are foodie are like the apps you already know. One, the one gives you. Okay. So there are two apps. Two food delivery apps. Once gives you taunt, once gives you love. Love advises.
Okay.
So my notifications comes up, oh, this Valentine's Day, why you're being single? Have it with this food. Like, they'll come up with so many good ideas on food. Ki, achha, let's have pizza and dark chocolate or chocolava cake together.
I know what to do with her. I know how to reward her now with food.
Yeah, the food lover listeners might need this.
Shruti wants a Zomato Gold subscription for Valentine's.
Yeah, actually. This will be the best one, the best useful. Free deliveries.
God.
Great idea.
Lovely.
Even for the girlfriend, like, they can gift it. Yeah? Saath mein baithke, they can see a movie with her and order.
You see how she's hinting?
No, my only simple question is, why do you have to wait for Valentine's Day for that?
Correct. They'll give you special offers.
Like, what if you
next levels?
Before Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I mean, it's lack of imagination.
Hey, guys, hey, stop it, yeah. Please.
Achha,
I will gift her a Zomato Gold on Valentine's Day.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, that's not, that's something that AI can't do.
Correct. AI also can't take your case, which these two are doing very merrily.
We are not doing anything of that sort. But interesting. I'm not sure how you would personalize a Zomato Gold subscription, but we can bundle a Zomato Gold subscription with a cuddly teddy bear that's also a vacuum cleaner. That's like...
at least you come up with some interesting idea.
Oh my God.
No, great. But I will end this show on this particular note, which I saw this Valentine's Day gift on a show called Arya, starring Sushmita Sen on Hotstar, which is supposed to be this ultimate crime show. And,
yeah,
you know, people are trying to kill her. And, well, that's the entire show. But her son, who falls in love with her assistant, who's a drug dealer.
Wow.
To keep her safe, he gives her a gold pendant that is also a GPS tracker. And GPS device. And he has, and it's amazing because that they have two pendants, and the two pendants, one is with him and one is with her, only. And those pendants are paired no matter where you are in this world. If you are under the soil, if you are, I don't know, in Mariana Trench.
Actually, there I've seen it a lot of times. Like in an article or somewhere, I've seen this. There's a bracelet, and you can gift it to your boyfriend or your even friend. So it gives a tracker also, and it pops up with a message also. So there are two kinds of things. And
I wouldn't want to be tracked wherever I go.
It is actually there.
The best part here is that if you press, there's a button on the locket or the pendant. If you press the pendant once, it will automatically send you a message saying, I don't know, I love you or I miss you or something. And if you press it twice, it will show your location on Google Maps with a heart. That's what they show on this show. But it is the creepiest thing and the funniest.
I was about to say how dystopian.
Absolutely bizarre. And I loved it. I was like, man, this is like the perfect story for the creepiest.
I'm aghast. It's very creepy. Yeah. I don't want this boyfriend.
This is like a glutton for punishment.
But I have to say this as the best gifting idea I've seen.
So who gets the prize for the gifting?
I think Zomato Gold.
Okay.
So the award, the bracelet also.
The award goes to Shruti.
With the teddy bear cuddles, vacuum cleaner.
All right. Looks like I'm gifting her a lot of things. Shruti and I are not dating, just to clarify. She's...
That's just for our listeners. We are not dating. And on that bombshell, we come to an end.
But before that, let me clarify for the benefit of our listeners, especially the Gen Z and the millennials.
You can.
May not know this history of Valentine, that Valentine was not necessarily for boyfriends and girlfriends.
Mm.
You know, it is. It could be for family relatives, it could be for good friends, it could be for your mother, for your father. I know I'm spoiling the romantic part.
Basically,
of it,
it's for the but, love.
Yeah, it's for love, and love doesn't mean to be between two things. So you could, probably, you know, you never know. A pet lover probably might give it to the dog or to the cat or to the fish or I don't know. Now, strange kind of pet lovers. So you never know. Some weird things could happen. Just some ideas, but that's my two pence on.
Clearly, we don't want to end this episode. It is too exciting for us to discuss this on a tech podcast.
Sorry, Shovik. I think we dragged it into another area altogether. But
I really have to ask, Leslie, what would a person who owns a fish as a pet give the fish for Valentine's Day?
I honestly don't know. Maybe something with a tech kind of cover, you know, outside that. Maybe a Faraday's cage outside the... outside the tank or an air purifier. Yeah, see, you're being kind to the fish, or you think you're being kind to the fish.
Oh yeah,
I mean, but I don't, purifier you no. mean not air purifier no
like what spirit. Is it exactly?
No, because why would you put an air purifier in a water tank? But other than that, I don't know why in the first place. Why would you want a fish tank? Because if you're putting a pet fish, you might as well leave it in the open sea. But then, that's a different issue.
Now in the environmental concerns territory on the Valentine's Day episode.
Lovely.
Yeah.
We should have ended 20 minutes ago, but go ahead, Shop.
It's been a lot of fun. And on that note, we come to an end for episode 4 of Mint Tech Cetera. As always, if you think we made no sense at all or we made a lot of sense, please do write to us and let us know what you thought. You have our Twitter you have our X and LinkedIn handles mentioned in part of the show description.
And happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys!
Happy Valentine's Day. And one more thing, those who are cat lovers, we have a cat GPT also.
Thanks!
So you guys can go, the pet lovers.
Shruti is like, mujhe sab kuch aaj hi bolna hai.
Nahin, Valentine's Day is for everyone now.
And on that cat GPT note, we actually come to an end of episode 4. That's it for this week. See you next time. Thank you very much.
So folks, that's it for this episode. You are listening to Mint Etc.
You can reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions. Our handles are in the description.
This episode was produced by me, Deepthi Ahuja. It was edited by Amrinder Singh. Catch you next week.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.